Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden, and I want to welcome you to episode 178 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? Interesting. I went to the dentist yesterday and had some relatively major dental work done. Anyway, my tooth hurt and my jaw hurt, and it hurt last night and it was still hurting this morning. And I realized that that's what America's suffering from. We've got a toothache. You know, it's not, sorry about that. It's not debilitating pain. It doesn't stop you from operating, but it's a constant annoyance. It's always there. You know, that's what we're suffering from. So let's get into this episode 178 by now. And here's the thing. This is what I'm calling this episode, or maybe the theme of this episode, or whatever, what have you. If someone tells you who they are, listen. I think that I first heard that in some relationship advice thing where they said, like, you know, if a person is abusive, then they're an abuser. They're telling you who they are. If a person lies to you, they're a liar. If a person steals from you, they're a thief. They're telling you who they are. And quite often we are blinded by love or emotion or something else, and we refuse to accept who someone is, and we deny who they are, even though they're telling us. And that seems to be our, and when I say our, I mean United States relationship with Donald Trump. Donald Trump tells us who he is, and we refuse to believe it for some odd reason. So Trump bombed Syria last week. He bombed Syria. He got permission from Putin first. He called Putin first. Didn't call Congress. He called Putin, said, "We're going to bomb Syria. You okay with that?" And he said, "Where we're going to bomb, and to get the Russian soldiers out of the way and get the Syrian planes out of the way." And of course, we didn't bomb the runway, which would stop the planes from taking off. We bombed planes that were already disabled and a couple of taxiways. But here's my point about Donald Trump telling us who he is. Okay, first of all, when he gave that speech about it's about the Syrian people being gassed, and it's about the babies, the beautiful babies. Well, he didn't care about the beautiful babies when he was blustering about denying Syrian refugees entrance into the United States, when he had a whole list of Muslim countries that people aren't allowed to enter the United States from. Not even the babies are allowed to enter. Why? Because he was telling us who he is. Now, the bombing, okay, the bombing the next morning, Fareed Zakaria on CNN said that Trump finally became president or did something presidential, or however he said it. And this is when CNN was telling us who they are. CNN, sadly, has deteriorated into an incompetent news outlet that I don't even know what they are. Are they a gossip? They just sit there interviewing each other about nothing. But here's the thing. This is when Trump told us who he was. All during 2013, right up to the campaign, Trump told us what he thought about Syria. Let me read you some tweets. Okay. August 2013, Donald Trump: "The president must get congressional approval before attacking Syria. Big mistake if he does not." Now, he's talking about Barack Obama. Next tweet, September 3rd, a few days later: "What I'm saying is stay out of Syria." Next: "If Obama attacks Syria and innocent civilians are hurt and killed, he and the U.S. will look very bad." Continuing, this is all back in 2013. Again, "To our very foolish leader," talking about Barack Obama: "Do not attack Syria. If you do, very bad things will happen. And from that fight, the U.S. gets nothing." And on and on. Here's another one: "Why do we keep broadcasting when we're going to attack Syria? Why can't we just be quiet? And if we attack at all, catch them by surprise." Does that include calling Putin before you attack? Continuing on. "No, Dopey, I would not go into Syria. But if I did, it would be by surprise and not blurted all over the media like fools." You know, as if like a president would tweet what he was going to do, you know. Finally, the last one, and I could go on and on, but the last one, read: "If we are going to continue to be stupid and go into Syria, watch Russia, as they say in the movies, shoot first and talk later. Now, see, that was Donald Trump telling us who he is. And instead of CNN being a real news outlet, a real media outlet, and pulling up these tweets and saying, oh, Donald Trump is a hypocrite, or Donald Trump is a liar, or why didn't Donald Trump go to Congress first, or et cetera, et cetera, they say, well, he's finally presidential. See, CNN is telling us who they are. They are incompetent. And Donald Trump is telling us once again who he is. You see, all his campaign promises, his tweets, his rhetoric, no, he's telling us who he is. He's a puppet of Putin. And it was interesting. I was on the Young Turks Friday, which I love, and you should check out. Check it out on YouTube, the Young Turks. Cenk is the man who runs it, is just brilliant. And he had sort of an informal poll as to why we bombed Syria. And like the first one was, you know, because we care about the Syrian people, to protect the Syrian people. Then there was another one. I think choice B was to reassure the military industrial complex that they're still in charge and that they'll make money off of war. And the third one was had to do with sort of a backdoor deal with Putin. In other words, sort of like, okay, we tell him we'll bomb. We're not going to bomb anything important. Then he can, Putin and Trump make a deal to stop the bombing and allow the Russians to sell oil. And then they both come out looking good because Putin doesn't, you know, retaliate for the bombing and Trump makes it look like he made a deal, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, the point being, of all of the choices, the one no one picked was that it had anything to do with the Syrian people, protecting the Syrian people, because we know it didn't have to do with that. It may have to do with, you know, showing, you know, my dick is bigger than yours, so I'm waving my missiles at you. It may be some backdoor deal with Putin. It may have to do with oil and natural gas and energy and money, because believe me, we never bomb a place for humanitarian reasons when there's no oil underneath that place. Just saying. So we know it had nothing to do with the people. If he cared about the people, they would come up with a plan to help Syrian refugees. So it has nothing to do with the people. But my point, getting back to my point, Donald Trump showed us who he is. Why don't people believe that? Why don't they listen or accept when he shows you who he is? CNN showed us who they are. Why do people still continue to deal with CNN? They showed us who we are. Now, I'm not saying they're the ridiculous fake news, you know, and that whole clown show that Trump put on. But I'm saying, CNN, you're showing yourselves as being incompetent. To not, the first thing that, and let's not even get into MSNBC and Brian Williams talking about how beautiful the bombs are because they explode in different colors at night. Oh, geez. He showed us who he is. These news outlets got to step up and hold Trump's feet to the fire, as they say, or just pull out his tweets. Just go to the news conference and say, hey, you said we're not going, you wouldn't go into Syria. You said that the president cannot bomb without congressional approval. You said that the U.S. wouldn't blah, 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 you know, but no, none of that's done. So, moving on to people telling you who they are. Sean Spicer, the White House press secretary, I'm not even going to try to describe it. He said that even Hitler never used chemical weapons on his people at the Holocaust centers. Jesus. Oh, my God. Yeah, he said that. Yeah, that wasn't Melissa McCarthy spoofing him. No, he actually said that. So I don't know how many levels this is wrong on. For one thing, you don't compare to Hitler, but he's trying to compare Assad, whose name he mispronounced. He's trying to compare Assad, the leader of Syria, with Hitler. Well, here's the thing, Sean, and you've been told this numerous times, and it was one time where Wolf Blitzer of CNN grew some balls because Wolf's parents were Holocaust victims. But Hitler did use poison gas. Hitler used ovens. Hitler poisoned and killed millions of Jews. And Sean, they weren't Holocaust centers, okay? It wasn't a little thing at the mall. You know, there's not going to be a sale down at the Holocaust Center this weekend. It was a horrible mass killing, attempted extinction of a people using poison gas and ovens to burn bodies and just the most horrific places you can imagine. Okay, not a Holocaust Center. So what are you saying, Sean? What it sounds like you're saying is that Hitler didn't use poison gas on his people because his people were the good Aryan Germans, not those Jews. His people were the Aryans, the good people. So Hitler never did attack his people. I think Sean Spicer is telling us who he is. You know, that's who he is. And he's a horrible person, part of a horrible, inhumane administration. And I'm not even going to go any farther than that. He told us who he is, plain and simple. United Airlines. Now this one, man, I am screwed. Why am I keeping it clean? I'm fucked up with this. So United had the police. I don't know how to put it. Did United have the police do it, or did the police do it in the name of United? They physically dragged a passenger off of the plane. You know, they overbooked the plane. They needed the seat to fly the crew somewhere. You saw the video by now. They dragged this poor guy off the plane, banged him up, bruised, bleeding. He was a doctor. I guess they figured he could work on himself. United showed who they are. The CEO of United followed up with the party line, with the non-apology, saying that, we don't know. How do they put it? They always have this thing of, oh, here it is. The facts and circumstances of the event are still evolving, and that employees follow established procedures for dealing with situations like this one. And then he had the nerve to say, treating our customers and each other with respect and dignity is at the core of who our company is. Really? That they were left no choice but to have this guy physically dragged off a plane? Then after all the uproar and being trashed by anybody and everybody from the internet, Twitter, news organizations, etc., he wrote, came out with another apology and said, like you, meaning us, I continue to be disturbed by what happened on this flight, and I deeply apologize to the customer forcibly removed and all customers aboard. Blah, 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 blah. So he did come back with a real apology once he was forced to. What the fuck, United? Here's my problem. I have over 1 million miles on United. I have 1.1 million frequent flyer miles on United. They've been my number one airline. So in a way, I'm kind of committed to using them because I have that many miles. But I will say the last two tickets I bought and the tickets I'll probably buy in the foreseeable future will be on Delta. And you know I'm no fan of Delta, but Delta so far hasn't physically dragged someone off a plane. Now, there's another part to this story that nobody seems to be talking about. The fact that the police did this, okay? You want to talk about police violence? The police can say no, okay? Here's the thing. Another pilot spoke out about these policies, and he said that had the airline offered more money, they probably would have got someone to volunteer to get off the plane. They started out offering $400, then they offered $800. Now, according to the rules, wherever these rules are written, they can be forced to pay up to $1,350. And this pilot said that if they had offered $1,000, maybe someone would have got off. If they'd offered $1,200, you know, you keep increasing the offer until someone gets off the plane. Obviously, you get to where the maximum amount of cash before you even think of forcibly removing somebody, right? But I guess not. So, United, you are showing who you are. And shit, I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not going to say that I'm never going to fly United again, and I'm not going to say that I am going to fly United again. I'm saying that United is showing who they are, and they're a horrible company, and they better change their culture and change it quick. Now, this is, I'm not new to this. Okay, last year, American downgraded me on a flight. I had a business class ticket, and they bumped me out of business, and they put me in coach, and they gave me a $300 voucher. Now, I didn't fight them, and it turns out I didn't fight them as much as I should have. I probably could have got more money out of them, but in the moment, I had to get to a gig, so I wasn't thinking about that. I was just thinking, like, damn, this sucks, but I'll fly to get to my gig. And I think that's the way most of us are when we're flying. We're like, well, I'll put up whatever shit the airline does to me as long as I can get where I'm going. And this is what that doctor was so upset about. He wasn't going to get where he was going, and he was supposed to do a procedure the next morning, and et cetera, et cetera. But this the corporate culture at airlines has to be changed. Will it? No, it will not, because the current government is so pro-corporation that they will not, you know, we got a new Supreme Court justice, which I'll get to in a minute, but you better believe he's not ever going to do anything that's anti-corporation. So United, you're horrible, and you showed us who we are. And personally, I can't tell you what I'm going to do. It's easy to say that I should boycott United and never fly him again, but hey, people, 1.1 million miles. I got to use them up somewhere, and I can only use them up on United. So we'll see. We'll see. And my point about American was just to say that, you know, I've said this repeatedly. None of the U.S. airlines are any good when it comes to customer service. None of them are any good. Virgin America is the best one, and they're being absorbed by Alaska. So that's going to go away. But none of them treat you any good. Now, I have a flight on United Arab Emirates coming up at the end of the month, and that's going to be the best. That they treat you like a human. I was going to say royalty. No, they treat you like a person. We're just so beat down that that seems incredible. So you can call me, am I a hypocrite? I don't know. I don't know that I'm, you know, but I'm just saying that all the airlines are bad. And years ago, I committed to United and buying flights and using United the most. So I'm kind of vested into that. But I don't know if I'm a hypocrite or not, but I've damn sure criticized United publicly repeatedly. I've never been a great supporter of them, as I've criticized Delta and American. They all suck. Passenger customer service on airlines sucks. Well, at least that's my opinion. That's not everyone's opinion. Again, just so you know, people tell you who they are, listen, because Trump supporters seem to think that manhandling passengers makes United Airlines great again. Some tweet from Reality Check, please. If an airline told me to vacate my seat, I would get up and leave. Whatever happened to respecting authority? Well, how do we know that this is a Trump supporter? Because this same person tweeted, so proud that Trump stood up to all the bashing and made it. Go find a pillow and a puppy and get over it, snowflakes. Another person, Stacy on the right, I cannot believe how many Americans are whining about the United passenger removal flap. Dude was forcibly removed for refusing to get up. Okay, and then this same person tweeted earlier, just this is how you know it's a Trump supporter. Let's lift President Trump up in prayer. He's under attack from all sides. Another one, Jay Palumbo, another tweet. Stop with this obsession over United passenger in Chicago. Passengers must follow orders of crew, full stop. Passengers should be charged. And this person in the past, a month earlier, tweeted, President Trump's here another 8 years, then President Pence for 8 years, and there will never be impeachment of either. Blah, blah, blah. So the Trump supporters think that, you know, if you don't give up your seat on a plane, then it's okay to beat you and drag you off this plane. Another person put, and this is very interesting, can you imagine a white woman being dragged off a plane by the police? No, I can't imagine it either. Can't really imagine it happened to a white man, but you get the point. Trump supporters telling us who they are. Gorsuch, our newest Supreme Court justice, when he was sworn in and he got the job, the Senate used the Senate majority, Republican majority, used the nuclear option to get from needing 60 votes to simply needing a majority of votes. And they got, I think it was 55-45 or 54-45, whatever it was. But anyway, they got him in, and I don't hold that against Republicans, because the Democrats would do the same thing, except that the Democrats have no balls. But if the situation were reversed, if there were a Democratic president and a Democratic Senate and a Democratic Supreme Court justice, or liberal Supreme Court justice, however you want to describe it, and the Republicans were going to filibuster and stop it, would the Democrats use the nuclear option? Only because they have no heart do I think they wouldn't, but they probably would. So anyway, the Republicans use the nuclear option. They get Gorsuch in. Gorsuch thanked Mitch McConnell. A Supreme Court justice thanked the head of the Senate for his job. I'm going to say that again. A Supreme Court justice thanked the head of the Senate for his job. Now, do you really think this Supreme Court justice is going to be unbiased? Do you think he's going to be fair and balanced? I don't think so. I think he showed me who he is. I think he told me who he is and who he is beholden to. Plain and simple. In other news, and again, he showed us who he is repeatedly, but Donald Trump is going to outspend Barack Obama's 8 years of travel in his first year. Okay? In his first 80 days of his presidency, Trump has spent $21.6 million traveling to Mar-a-Lago. Obama spent less than $97 million on travel in the 8 years he was in the White House. You know, Trump criticized Obama playing golf. Trump has already made 16 visits to golf courses since his inauguration. So, in 80 days on the job, he's had 16 days off to play golf. And again, not knocking him. Not knocking him at all. Because he showed us, he's telling us who he is. He's absolutely telling us who he is. And people are like, no. No, he's not. Barack Obama's. As a matter of fact, I'm sure there's a way that Trump supporters will blame Barack Obama for Donald Trump having to play golf. Now, I haven't figured it out, but I'm pretty sure that somehow it will be Barack Obama's fault that Donald Trump had to play golf. That's it. What are you going to say? If someone tells you who they are, listen. I'm going to tell you where I am. I'm headed to Nyack, New York. I'm doing Levity Live in Nyack, New York this Thursday through Saturday, April 13th through 15th. I was supposed to be there 2 years ago. I missed it. I'm so happy to be there now. Looking forward to it. Happy Easter. Happy Passover to those who celebrate those holidays and believe. And God bless you all. And, you know, happy spring solstice or whatever. I know it was last month, but you got to celebrate something this week. So, I don't know. Go out and buy a hat. Buy a proper hat for Easter. Perhaps an Easter bonnet, and break out those white shoes, because summer's here. Or is that Memorial Day? We'll make it Easter. I live in L.A. Nobody cares. They wear white all year round. I love you guys. Thanks for listening. This is Alonzo once again saying, who's paying attention? You are, and I appreciate it.